Travel Writers Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.
Well, whether it was just good timing or a post-COVID response to passenger demand for slow travel and small ships, the world's newest cruise line, Tradewind Voyages, will launch next May the largest square-rigged sailing ship in the world called Golden Horizon, accommodating just 272 guests. Our reporter Ian Jarrett speaks with Craig Bowen, MD of Small Ship Cruise Specialist, Cruise Traveller, who is the exclusive launch partner of Golden Horizon. It'll make its inaugural world voyage in August 2021, and that includes a circumnavigation of Australia in December 2021.
At a time when we're seeing stark pictures of cruise ships being broken up in shipyards in Turkey, and the latest and greatest super ships being confined to port by the pandemic, small ship cruising is becoming the preferred option for many travellers. Rather than share your onboard buffet lunch with 4,000 other cruise passengers, the capacity of small ships is numbered in just the low hundreds. So what makes them so special? Here to tell us is Craig Bowen, Managing Director and co-founder of Gold Coast-based small ship specialist Cruise Traveller. Craig, you recognised the appeal of smaller ships very early on and have been successful in marketing them to Australians for a number of years. I believe a trip to Antarctica whetted your appetite for small ship cruising. How did it all begin?
Yeah, good morning, Ian. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, look, it was interesting. My very original interest in Antarctica started, I was involved in the marketing of the sightseeing flights that went over the top of Antarctica for some years. I think I've been over the top 20-odd times, and it had this started this passion for wanting to get onto the ground. And so early days of Cruise Traveller, we looked at Antarctica as a destination. And, of course, small ships are what prosper in Antarctica for the reasons of access and environmental reasons. And so in 2004, I ended up taking 132 Australian guests down to Antarctica on a number of different departures. And it just sort of opened my eyes to all things great about remote and exotic destinations, which, of course, are best accessed by small ships. So it was a pretty exciting start to our business, and it's continued to prosper ever since as we've stayed totally focused on small ships.
What is the appeal of smaller ships for passengers, apart from their intimacy and style? I guess smaller ships can reach the parts of the world that bigger ships can't.
Absolutely. In fact, look, some of the benefits are, as you've already just touched on, Ian, the actual onboard experience, which by far is my preference, where you get to know your fellow like-minded guests, you get to know the crew, you're not lining up and queuing up, whether it's on the ship or getting on and off the ship. But because I think small ship cruising is very heavily destination driven, in other words, where do I want to go first and then decide how you want to get there, that the access to whether it's the polar regions or the tropical expedition type regions or the small bays and smaller towns of the Mediterranean in Europe or wherever it might be, access is one of the great advantages of small ships. And then, of course, when you get there, that fantastic situation of being able to disembark quickly and re-embark quickly. I could take up the whole day talking about benefits of small ship cruising, but you've touched on the main ones.
Craig, we hear about expedition ships. How often do these differ from other small ships? And what role do they play in educating passengers to protect the environments they visit?
Yeah, great question. In fact, if I could just reflect back to that first trip to Antarctica back in 2004, I was thinking that the 36-hour crossing across the Drake Passage would be not particularly exciting compared to the Antarctic Peninsula that we were heading. But for the 36 hours during the daytime and the evenings, they had some incredible presentations by the onboard expedition team, and I just started to learn about things that I'd never even heard about, you know, the demise of the albatross because of longline fishing and all sorts of things that just, by the time I got back from that couple of week experience, I had a whole new respect for Antarctica. And then, you know, that was a long time ago, and 85, I think it's 84 or 85 cruises later for me, every single one of them I brought home something new that's added some value to my life. And I just look at the thousands of people that we've taken around the world, and the same thing happens to them. And I think this is where this passion about small ships and expeditions expedition style cruising really kicks in, and then people want to come back and back and back and do other destinations.
How many small ship cruise lines do you represent? What is the focus of the itineraries of these cruises? Can you tell us about some of your personal favourites?
Sure. Look, I think it's currently at 54 or 55. I don't mean to be blasé about that. We've actually taken on a few new ones during the last interesting travel period over the last few months in Australia. But look, we started out with literally one or two cruise lines back in 2003 when we first started the business. And the small ship world wasn't easy in the beginning. I mean, by far the majority of people knew cruising as being big ships. And I think the statistic is something like 85% of it around the Pacific, you know, the Pacific Islands, etc. But we've progressively grown the portfolio. We're very tough on the criteria. We have to be very confident in what we call the hardware, the ship itself. We have to be excited by the destinations that they go to. We've got to be very confident about the company that's behind it. But look, I'm incredibly fortunate. Yes, it's my business, but my passion for small ship cruising and our business has taken me to all of the continents, all of the polar regions, throughout most of the Pacific and Africa and India, river cruising in India, the Amazon. Look, it's very hard to pick out a favourite, but I'm very strong on the two favourite destinations that I've found so far have been firstly Antarctica, as it opened my eyes to this, and then diametrically opposed is the Kimberley here in Australia, where, you know, it's completely different, but just as remote and just as beautiful, but in many different ways, and lots of places in the middle.
How has the market for small ship cruises grown in Australia? And what close to home adventures will you be offering in 2021 to meet the demand for slow travel?
Yeah, look, it's very interesting that small ship cruising hasn't been an enormous part of the Australian market statistically. The destination I mentioned earlier, the Kimberley, has been a very strong part of our world because it's very focused on small ships, and we've been selling that right from the beginning of our business and still very strongly support it with a number of products. But with the events of you know, the last 6 months, obviously long-haul travel is very challenged out of Australia, and so we're fortunate to see some of our products relocating ships, not at the moment because of the government restrictions, but they've got ships positioned in close proximity to Australia so that we can open up some coastal voyages, and we're very excited about that. But look, one of the most exciting things in the last little while has been taking on the exclusive representation in Australia of a beautiful vessel called Golden Horizon by Tradewind Voyages from the UK. And it's coming, it's actually launching in 2021 in April, but heading down to Australia to circumnavigate Australia in late 21, early 22. And so, you know, in addition to the other things that we already do in Australia, that's absolutely something that we're very focused and excited about.
We're seeing the cruises restarting in a limited way in Singapore, with companies like Genting and Royal Caribbean with very strict health and safety protocols. Will this be the big issue for cruisers going forward, that they're going to be safe on board and the cruise companies are going to look after them?
There's no question that this is going to be top of mind for all potential travellers. And I think whilst I can't actually speak for some of those larger cruise lines that you just mentioned, only because we haven't got an intimate relationship with them, I can absolutely assure you that whether they're the large ships or the ones that we know, you know, better, the smaller ships, the new, I guess, for want of a better term, COVID protocols that are coming in are quite staggeringly incredible. And I've just been through them with a couple of products. One of them's Ponant, which is a very strong part of our world and a very strong part of the Australian small ship cruise world. And the measures that they're taking both before, during, and, you know, and the whole way through the experience to ensure that the medical safety of their guests is, as I said earlier, quite incredible. And look, I'm a very, you know, sensible, level-headed sort of traveller, but, you know, I've had to be assured myself of these things, and we're looking into this very closely. There's no guarantees moving forward. This is such an incredibly new part of our travel world that the success of it long term is to be determined. But the effort and the associations that cruise lines are forging with medical companies to take this, the health and well-being of their guests and crew, very importantly, and their crew, to a whole nother level, I think will ultimately provide a very good platform for our guests that are dying to travel again, but only when it's considered safe.
Thank you for joining Travel Writers Radio, Craig. We've very much enjoyed your comments, and we hope we'll all be sailing again very soon.
Thanks very much, Ian. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
That was our West Australian correspondent, Ian Jarrett, speaking there with Craig Bowen of Small Ship Specialist Cruise Traveller.